organization?
Phil, we represent a consortium of suburban mothers. We are called Suburban Mothers for Peace. We represent suburban mothers throughout the suburbs of Los Angeles, which has the largest number of any major American city.
But you guys were out in force yesterday on Hollywood Boulevard and in Malibu protesting the war in Iraq, or the proposed war in Iraq. And there were...
yes, we were, Phil.
And there were protests all over the country and the world this past weekend.
Yes. There were 100,000 in San Francisco. My understanding is there were some 200,000 in Australia. We're speaking out, Phil. I think the people finally have had enough, and we're speaking out.
Had enough of what? I'm just curious, because I've been very vocal in my support of President Bush.
So we had 50,000 people up and down Hollywood Boulevard yesterday, on Saturday, I should say. Thousands of people who have come together to protest what we think really is an immoral and illegal war. It was a beautiful sight to be a part of. We met a lot of the famous and the not-so-famous. I had a wonderful conversation with Angelica Houston. I spoke with Mike Farrell at length. They're very interesting people. Martin Sheen was there. And so we had a chance to talk. And two things came out, Phil, about this war in Iraq and why we're opposed to it. Number one, it's really none of our business to tell them what to do if they want to do it. That's what 50,000 of us are trying to say. It's none of our business. In London, in New York, and the criminal regime in Washington, really...
The criminal regime in Washington... Do you really think that President Bush operates a criminal regime?
So I had a very enlightening conversation with Mike Farrell, who was in MASH, and is now currently starring in a program that I think I canceled, but he told me that it really, really is. And we need to understand that. And also, Phil...
All right, what is the second point?
Well, the second point is they say that Saddam Hussein has links to Al-Qaeda. Prove it. Prove it. That's what we're saying. Prove it. There is no proof. They can't prove it. So they say it, but they can't prove it.
Bobby, if I, Ms. Dooley, if I could interrupt. And I know your husband Steve is there.
Steve's here.
They can't prove it because they don't have any...
I'll do it. They can't prove it, Phil, because they don't have any proof. And that's what we're saying.
And also, a lot of people are there.
Let me do it. One of the things my husband wants to say is that this war is for oil. And that's another thing people don't think about. Think about that. The oil that we use to put gasoline in our car, hello, it's from the Middle East.
No, people don't think about that.
I'll do it. People don't think about that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley and some 50,000 others were on the streets of Los Angeles on Saturday to protest a proposed war in Iraq. Ms. Dooley, you know that I am in support of our president on this. It's a country, Iraq, if I may make this point, controlled by a dictator that murders his own people.
Phil, you don't get it, and I don't mean to say... Well,
please don't be condescending.
No, I just... It's really none of our business. When you stick your nose in this... Can I illustrate a point? Because when you stick your nose into someone else's business, you're asking for trouble. Let me bring up the point. You remember Ray and Janice Greeley, Steve?
Yeah, I do.
Ray and Janice Greeley are very dear friends of ours. They live across the street. It was two Sundays ago. We had just gotten back from the boys' soccer tournament. I heard a woman scream, and I heard some glass breaking. And it came from the Greeley's house. You remember that, Steve?
I do. I was over there.
And
okay, so this was from your friend's house?
Yes, glass breaking and a woman screaming. So I said, oh, my God. And I could feel my heart palpitating. I went across the street. I knocked on the door. Ray Greeley came to the door. And I said to him, and I was very nervous, I said, Ray, is everything all right? And you know what he said to me, Phil? He said, you know what, Bobby? Yes, it is. I'm talking to my wife. Can I ask you what business it is of yours? And I said, you know what, Ray, you're right. And so that's the day that I learned to mind my own business, and that's what we're talking about. Why don't we mind our own business?
We've got to mind our own business.
About the war with Iraq.
Bobby, I think there's more here than minding our own business.
So have you ever talked to Martin Sheen? I'm curious.
No, I've never talked to Mr. Sheen.
I met him at the protest.
We met him on Saturday.
do it. I met him on Saturday. He really opened my eyes to so many things. And he told me, Bobby, Iraq is none of our business. There's nothing there that we have a right to tell them about.
All right, so this is already, what in your mind and the minds of people all over the globe who are protesting this war, some kind of a internal matter for Iraq that we should not be involved in.
It's none of our, I don't want to get that, you're making it too complicated. It's none of our business.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. A lot of you have seen the weekend protests against the proposed military attack on Iraq. Ms. Dooley is one of several thousand here in Los Angeles. There were 100,000 in San Francisco. This is none of our business, this effort at bringing Iraq into compliance. This was a United Nations resolution. Besides the possibility that the man is hooked up with Al-Qaeda, as members of the UN, we're simply trying to enforce UN resolutions. That's what I'm trying to say.
So I was talking to Martin Sheen, and Angelica Houston weighed in on this too, and he said, the three of us were just talking at one point, and he said, how can we tell the Iraqis what to do when we do what we do to the rights of women and to the blacks? Okay?
Bobby, I don't think we're mustard gassing women and black people.
The point is, Phil, it's none of our business.
And we don't have a moral high ground because of the women.
And that's what Angelica Houston said, and I was talking to her. She told me some things about Jack Nicholson, too, that I thought were very funny.
Well, what about the real possibility this guy is linked up with Al-Qaeda?
You know what, Phil?
I mean, there's a real possibility that this guy, he's hooked up with Hamas, we know this. He's hooked up with Hezbollah. Why wouldn't he be hooked up with Al-Qaeda?
You know what, Phil? Prove it. Prove it. See, that's the thing. Prove. You can't prove it.
And well, what do you mean, prove it?
You can't. What I learned, along with 50,000 other very committed people yesterday, you can't prove it. So I'm speaking for thousands of mothers. I'm speaking for thousands of fathers. I'm speaking for every enlightened mind in America. No war in Iraq. And that's really what,
no war.
That's really what we're saying. No war in Iraq, Phil. We feel the time has come, and we are going to tell the mothers, because I'm picking up my voice right now.
No war, no war, no war. No war.
And we're picking up the boys now at the school.
Where are you right now?
We're in the circular drive in front of the middle school. We're picking up our boys.
All the women in the SUVs? Hi, yeah. All the women in the SUVs. Only the SUVs. No war.
No. So
I resent you being at a school. I resent you being where children are. That is not a place for the children to be befuddled and to be bothered by this kind of thing. This is an adult matter.
So we have to involve the children.
I resent children being dragged into these political issues when they're still children. You're at a school?
Yes, we are. And we're going to let the children know, too. No war.
Let the kids grow up. Let them grow up. Just don't let them be afraid.
We're trying to help them, Phil. And I think Spike Lee said it so well. No war. Because it's none of our business.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Ingrid, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley of Suburban Mothers for Peace.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Basically, mm-hmm. The reason why I'm calling is because I'm quite upset mm-hmm. about your opinion. My husband is in the military and mm-hmm. he's overseas right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I happen to believe that the government has a lot more information than a celebrity. Just because you're on television doesn't make you an expert in foreign affairs.
Have you ever met Mike Farrell, though? He is really...
Well, you listen to what the lady's saying, though.
I don't care if they've been on TV or not. Everybody mm-hmm. has an opinion. Just mm-hmm. because you're on TV doesn't mean you can go ahead and become God.
No, I'm not saying they're God, but I'm saying that Mike Farrell is really so intelligent. And
You know what? I'm very intelligent, mm-hmm. too, and I know mm-hmm. my husband is, and he made some good choices also.
I think that by
getting somebody into office, you need to start believing them. We mm-hmm. do not have all the information because we're not going to give it out on CNN to the rest of the country.
Your name is Ingrid? Ingrid.
Yes.
Christine Lotti is a Golden Globe winner.
Are
you going to go against that?
What has that got to do with her knowing something?
What does that have to do mm-hmm. with intelligence and knowing what's going on?
No.
I can make up my own mind. Just
mm-hmm.
because I haven't been on TV doesn't mean I don't have my own opinions. That doesn't mean I'm going to force them down everybody else's throat.
You know, and it's interesting. Your name is Ingrid. You're not Scandinavian, are you? Are you from America?
Yes, I'm an American.
Okay,
my ancestry is Irish. Mm-hmm. If you need to know.
Well, your name is very unusual.
No, it isn't. There's plenty of Ingrids in America.
It's very unusual.
I would say, so what?
I know you're scared. I know you're scared.
I'm not scared. I'm disgusted with you people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sick of it.
Yeah,
there may have been so many people protesting, but there are plenty more people out there that back our government.
And by the way, Ingrid, you didn't see the LA Times today. There's a picture of Rob Reiner. And do you know how stupid those celebrities look?
How dare you?
No, really, they look like idiots. Rob Reiner with his big mouth open. Christine Lottie, who?
Excuse me, she won a Golden Globe?
I never heard of her. I don't care what they look like. I'm not saying
they're stupid or not.
I just don't want them telling me what to do just because they're on
TV. Exactly, Ingrid. Don't ever... How dare you, Mr. Henry, say they look stupid. Really.
No, but you know, just the same.
I can't stand the fact
that you guys are out there screaming peace. It makes a disgusting word to the point where I'm sick of hearing the word because it's so generic.
Ingrid,
you guys scream it all the time.
Good point.
Ingrid, peace is good for children and other living things.
Look, I also have an education degree, okay?
Did you go to school in America or were you?
Yes, I went to school in America. I'm an American. I was born and raised here. I don't know about people that are on television, but I was.
Okay, I need to establish that. I didn't know if you were born here. I know you're an American citizen. I didn't know if you were born here.
Oh, yes, I was born here.
All right, do you know what we did to the Indians?
You know what?
Scalped them.
I know what
we
did to the Indians. Are you talking about the Native American Indians?
Yes, the Indians.
Yes, but I didn't do it, and you didn't
The American Indian was brutalized, but the American Indian today is not being mustard gassed, and today it owns property. We are trying to help the Native Americans. We have an enlightened attitude about them. It isn't like we can't speak out. In Iraq, try speaking out about the plight of the Kurds. What do you think that's going to get you?
Oh, Phil, quit being so complicated. By the way, the name Ingrid reminds me of Ingrid Stevens, who was on a TV show called The Farmer's Daughter. Do you remember that?
No, I don't. But what I'm going to say to you is, have you ever been to New York?
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone down and seen the site?
Seen the what, darling?
Have you seen
Ground
where the
Zero?
Towers were?
I saw it on television.
No, it's not the same.
Really,
you go to New York and see what it looks like. I had friends that were there.
Yeah.
Okay?
So the next time
you want to go ahead and say that Iraq is just some, you know, little place, we'll just leave them alone.
But you know what, Ingrid? We can't prove that Iraq
flew the airplane. But you know what? We're not going to give the information to you.
Yeah. If you don't think that guy isn't hooked up...
What is this? Ingrid and Phil versus Bobby. Is that what this is, Phil?
No, it isn't.
You're piling on.
All right, listen. I'll let you go, Ingrid. Thank you for your call.
I'm sorry. I'm too emotional about this.
It's fine. She makes some nice points. Peace has become a generic word. Nobody knows what it means. And it sounds as if they're willing to bend over and grease up for peace.
You know, Phil, I'm a mother of three sons, and I really don't appreciate that language.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put it that way.
You really did.
I don't want to talk about anal sex with my wife.
I'm not talking about that, sir. I'm saying that peace becomes a generic word, and it sounds like we're just cowards waving a white flag.
Phil, oh my God, a coward, huh?
Yeah.
I am very emotional right now. I have three sons. One of them has been accepted to Juilliard. We have gotten him an agent. He could very well become, in my opinion, he could become a wonderful performer on stage. I spoke with Christine Lottie. She's won a Golden Globe. Martin Sheen, and that is not a Jewish name, by the way. I understand he's Catholic. I spoke with one other gentleman who was Jewish, Rob Reiner, and you could tell because he was very, you know, and let me tell you all of that stuff. And
can we get to the point here?
No, I'm just saying. I am saying, Phil, that prove it. You see, you can't prove it. You people who want war can't prove that Saddam Hussein is all mobbed up.
Mobbed up. All right, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, I don't appreciate those anti-Semitic remarks that she just made, and I would like my producer, Janice Ngaro, to get on the phone and clarify with her what we're doing. Bobby Dooley from Western Estates Homeowners Association is with us. She believes that the United States should keep its nose out of Iraq's business. She is with Suburban Mothers for Peace. She was part of 50,000 people on Hollywood Boulevard this past weekend. They were protesting the war, and they were saying basically, what Martin Sheen, Angelica Houston, Mike Farrell, and Rob Reiner, they were all there to explain to us why we need peace. And Ms. Dooley there said, A, it's none of our business. B, we can't prove that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Out of Bounds.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, 2 days after some massive protests internationally against a proposed war against Iraq, day after a big demonstration in San Francisco, we have gotten on the line here a woman who represents a group, and there's some 15, 20 anti-war groups in Los Angeles alone, Suburban Mothers for Peace. Her name is Bobby Dooley. She's with her husband, Steve. You're out in front of your kids' middle school right now, and you guys have been speaking to women coming through?
We have, Phil. We've been talking to the mothers that are picking up the children, and we're saying, no war, no war. No war, no war. And I think the message is getting through.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Marty, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Bobby.
Yes, hi, this is Bobby.
Hi, Bobby. My name is Marty.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly understand your desire of protecting children.
Mm-hmm. Where are you from?
I am from Germany.
I went
through the war.
Yes, uh-huh. You sound like...
We could hear the bombs coming. We could hear the planes coming.
Mm-hmm.
We had the chance to go to the basements and protect ourselves.
But those were American
how
bombs.
How do you protect
those
yourself against the silence?
But those were good bombs. Those were good bombs. Those were American bombs.
That's right.
We're coming to save you and liberate you.
Yeah, and hey, how about if you had come earlier, wouldn't Hitler have had less chance to kill German citizens by the millions if the world had...
Wait, acted
sooner.
So there's, it was okay for America to bomb Germany, but not Iraq.
No, because they had Hitler, and he had invaded the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, for crying out loud!
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That has got nothing to do with it.
Yes, he did,
Marty. If the world had acted sooner against Hitler, he wouldn't have had the chance to kill the millions of people
who
were German citizens, which also were Jews, and Hollywood actors have absolutely no right to pretend they are.
Marty, can I ask you something? Because I've always been curious. When you were living in Germany, could you smell the Jews burning, or was that you were inside the house?
No.
Oh, okay.
What kind of a question is that?
Well, I just wondered if she could smell.
No.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know.
I'm here for you. At dinner time, it must have been obnoxious, though, you know.
And you know what? I understand. Oh, I can almost understand why the European countries are hesitant to go to war. Because they still have the memories of the war. But how can an American stand against their own country?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I cannot understand.
Did you meet General Patton?
Will you shut up with these questions?
Phil, I will not be told. I'm against the war, and I will not be told to shut up. Marty, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't believe you were in Germany. You were probably with the Van Trapps in Austria, weren't you? Because I was...
All right, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The war in Iraq, this lady is against it. She says it's none of our business. She says that we can't prove our allegations against Hussein. And she's on the air with us, Bobby Dooley. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
And we'll be serving coffee later. And so, Phil...
So you were just talking to some of the ladies?
We're talking to the women in the SUVs picking up the kids, yeah. Phil, a point that I want to make. We were with 50,000 people yesterday on Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood, where all the movie actors live. And I talked to Mike Farrell, and he said to me something that I think we all should keep in mind. He said, Bobby, I was on a television show called MASH, and I was on it for a long time. I played a doctor trying to heal the wounds of men injured in battle. And the horrors that I saw, the injured boys that I saw, I'll never forget as long as I live. Martin Sheen was in Apocalypse Now. What kind of horror did he see in the Vietnam era? Also, Angelica Houston played a German in Saving Private Ryan. If you recall the scene where Adam Goldberg is stabbed slowly, that was Angelica Houston. And I think all of them teach us, Phil, that war is wrong.
Well, they all, I mean... Look, I don't see that a guy who plays a surgeon on MASH necessarily saw horror.
Why not?
Because it's a TV show. He's thought those guys aren't really injured.
The point is, Phil, it was about the Korean War, a devastating war, a forgotten war for a lot of young men. Barbra Streisand did Yentl.
And Yentl was not a war movie.
No, but it was about Jews and stuff. And that, too, reminds us of World War, of... I forget.
World War II.
World War II. All of those things are important.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Let me go to Michael. Michael, I know you're in a truck. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to ask that young lady a question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, you said you have children, right?
Yes, I do. I've got three sons, Seth, Dylan, and Justin.
Okay, that's
They're
fine.
They're 15, 13, and 11.
Let me ask you
and
a question.
And Seth right now is... studying for his...
Okay, that's fine. We want to hear what the man has to say.
He's studying for Juilliard.
That's fine. Can I ask you a question?
Okay, go ahead.
If a child is being abused in the home by their parents, is it our responsibility to make sure that child is okay and make sure the parents stop doing that?
No.
That's not? We should let the child be abused?
No, that's Child Protective Services.
Well, I would just like to point out...
Wait a minute.
Iraqis that are being killed and hurt...
Mm-hmm.
They're not. They don't want to be murdered by some lunatic.
That's right.
But it is our responsibility to go over there and make sure that their freedom, as well as ours, is intact and kept.
But Michael,
it is, in fact, our business.
But, Michael, something that Christine Lottie said to me yesterday. Prove it. See, we
prove
can't,
what? Prove that they're
prove
being
it.
Killed?
Yeah, prove it.
They're being killed every day. You
Amnesty
over
International.
There for your...
There's 50,000 people disappearing a year in that country. Disappearing. Political murders, political torture. Amnesty International's got a dossier on Iraq that would make your freaking toes curl.
May I say one more thing?
Go ahead, Michael.
Prove that
I would just like to let this lady know that I'm a 22-year-old American male.
Mm-hmm.
I drive a truck for a living.
Mm-hmm.
I have every intention, when I get back home in 4 weeks, of going down to my local recruiting office and letting them know that if they need me over and overseas, I am 100% willing and ready and volunteering to go, because you know what? This country needs more patriots and more people to protect their freedom and less lunatics like you who have nothing
lunatic.
Better to do with your time.
Michael,
you work?
Did Saddam Hussein come and help us when women weren't making equal pay? No.
Do you work?
Currently, no, I don't.
Because,
I did
so
do
you
the
have nothing
money.
Better to do with your time than go down to a school and involve innocent children that have
me.
No choice. You're garbage.
Excuse me, but I am the president of our homeowners association.
I believe that.
I'm the president of our landscaping steering committee. I'm the president of our PTO.
Why do you have to involve children in this? What did the children do?
What did the children do?
We want the children, the mothers, everyone to say no war, no war. That's our point, no war.
Don't you think that's
a
lot
point.
Of responsibility to be putting, a lot
exactly.
of burden to be putting on a
let
child?
Let the kids be kids, okay? You got an axe to grind. Go out and do it with adults. Let the kids be kids.
So anyways, Mr. Henry, that's just the point I wanted
don't
to
want
make.
I my boys put into ovens.
What?
Your boys put into ovens. You know,
yeah.
my mother would fully support my going to war, and you know why? Because my grandfather was fought in Vietnam. And it is every American male that is able-bodied to fight for his country.
Did the communists put him in an oven? Or what did they do?
What do you mean that the communists put him in an oven? No,
that's what
the
communists did. They put them in ovens.
Who?
They didn't put him in an oven.
Yes, they did. Oh,
my
God.
He's here.
Oh, my God. You don't know what the...
Wait a minute. The Nazis put innocent civilians into ovens in World War II.
That's what I'm saying.
No, you're not.
This is Vietnam. He was a Vietnam veteran.
Oh.
And I have every intention of becoming a veteran of this war if it ever becomes one, because, like I said, it is a... well-intentioned war.
Well, good.
It needs to be fought because it's him or us.
Very good, Michael. Thank you very much. Thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. We're mixing our history around a little bit here. We're talking about the proposed war against Iraq. We're talking about proposed military intervention in Iraq. You were part of 50,000 protesters in Los Angeles. There were millions around the world. I understand that. Your point, though, is that we should not go into Iraq because we have no proof of the things that we're saying, and that it's none of our business.
Absolutely, Phil.
You've also brought up Martin Sheen, Mike Farrell, and you said Angelica Houston played the German in Saving Private Ryan that knifed Adam Goldberg.
Yes. And she told me that she enjoyed it. And she said I was scared to death because as I pushed that knife into Adam Goldberg's chest, I loved it. God help me, but I loved it so. And that's what Patton said, too. So
she wasn't really stabbing him, though.
Who?
Angelica Houston.
No, I know, but yes, she was. Because he made it look real.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Nina, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello, sir.
Hi, go ahead, Nina.
Okay, first of all, I want to say that you are not... protesting for me. I'm a wife and I have children and I have brothers that served in Vietnam and I have a son-in-law right now that's sitting over there in South Korea.
But I represent
and
all
I get tired of you anti-war mongers against the war when these good men and women are fighting for, unfortunately, for you and your husband and your kids. And you can't prove that none of this is going on. We know for a fact that Saddam Hussein shot his own son-in-law.
Prove it.
Prove it! We saw it on TV!
You didn't see it on TV. You can't prove it.
We saw it. We have filmed that, and you can't prove that
it
didn't happen.
Hey, Bobby, prove that the sun comes up in the east.
I can get a video camera and film it.
Can you prove that's the east?
Well, yeah.
How?
No, you can't.
How can you? Tell me it's the east.
Well... everybody knows it is.
No, you can't prove it. Prove it.
If I had a compass.
Prove the compass is right. Prove it's balanced. Prove that it was properly calibrated.
You know, Phil, you're going to kill and murder millions of young Americans for no reason because you gleefully prance through this war as if it's a TV show. Martin Sheen told me that war is bad. And
so, did that make it right?
Nina?
What does Martin Sheen have? Did Martin Sheen serve in the military services? Did Mike Farrell serve in the military services?
Yes, they did. Yes.
Well, good. Good for them. But you know what?
Apocalypse Now.
That is not in the military. That was a doggone movie.
No, but they were. He was a surgeon, and Martin Sheen.
So what? That was a movie.
That was
you
a movie. It doesn't mean he's in the service.
There's a difference between facts and fiction, ladies, and you don't live in the real world.
No, I do.
You don't either, because there is millions of people out there that is for this war, and I am tired of you people making the United States look bad just so that other people overseas can make it look bad, too.
Can I say
why don't you go live in France, and why don't you go live in Germany, where those other people live? Because I have two brothers that served in Vietnam, and I have a son-in-law over there now, and there's millions of 150,000 other military people that are over there now.
That's right, Nina, that's right.
And you know what? These men and women are there to die and to give their life for you and Mike Farrell and Martin Sheen and everybody else.
Okay, Nina, let Bobby respond. Go ahead.
I want to make two points. Number one, if you play a soldier on television, it's like being a real one. Because Yes, it is. And number two, prove that you had two brothers in Vietnam. So you can't prove it.
Yes, I can.
Yes, she can. That's
yes,
the stupidest
thing. You go down there at that wall and you can see all the names of all the people that died and everything else, and I can show you where my brothers were in there.
Well, how do I know they're your brothers? Maybe you're making up their names.
Oh, come on. Have some respect.
You proved that they weren't.
Well, I don't know
that you're
prove
that they won't.
Prove to me that you're, prove to me you're a woman.
Yeah.
Any time, Phil, because I love your program.
You're a pig. You know that? You're a pig.
Nina, when was the last time you picked up a rifle?
Hey, never. I've got a gun right now, and I've got a rifle right next to my bed, just in case any of those idiots come over to my house. And I can tell you one thing. If they do, they ain't going to be around to say one thing or another. There are so many people here in the United States right now that are willing to kill us because they're part of the cells that are here right now. And I can tell you, if we would get rid of all of the people who have green cards and send them back to where they came from, then we probably wouldn't have part of the problem.
With green cards belong here. They're legally here if they have a green card.
Well, okay,
they have
the ones
permit.
That are illegally.
Oh,
excuse
Nina,
me.
Angelica Houston told me that when she stabbed...
Oh, will you knock it off with her?
Oh, come on. That's a movie. She has no idea
but
what it's like.
It was a damn good movie.
Well, no
my
doubt.
My brother was a door gunner on a helicopter. He went out and he picked boys up that were fighting with us in Vietnam that were 12 years old.
What did you say, Mr. Dooley?
He picked up boys. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, yeah.
Not picked up.
Yeah, why don't you get nasty, boy? Maybe well, that's what you like.
Yeah, you said he picked up boys.
Picking up guys and saving their lives, you idiot.
Saving their lives. He picked up this 12-year-old. And
don't call my husband an idiot.
He is an idiot, just like you are.
I talked to Mike Farrell and Rob Reiner, and they said...
What? Who cares?
Who cares?
Why did you take that rifle, Nina? Oh, never mind.
Oh, you were going to say go shoot Rob Reiner.
No, I was going to say go to your house and blow your head off.
You know, Phil, people like this, unfortunately, mm-hmm. that are living here in the United States,
mm-hmm.
I wish they would go on a little island of their own and have their own society because they're not true Americans.
That's okay.
They are anti-terrorists as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Thank you very much.
Your brother's only gun was in his pants.
Oh, so.
You know what?
You know what,
Bobby? Have some respect. Thank you, Nina. 1-800-449-8686. Kevin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, Julie, let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
I served with 1 million soldiers over there, so you would have the right to stand out there with 50,000 protesters.
Mm-hmm.
We gave you that freedom. I fought for your rights.
Where did you fight?
I fought in Kuwait and Iraq. I spent 13 months over there and 11 years in the infantry. What have you done?
I'm protesting the war against
Protesting
Iraq.
What?
Well, in case they want to fight Iraq.
What do you mean, in case we want to?
We have to. They're over there to fight
in order to give you that right so you can stand out there with 50,000 people and 10 actors.
Kevin.
50,000 people and 10 actors.
Don't have disrespect.
There is no disrespect. You're disrespecting yourself and every American out there.
Kevin, I think you should hear the words of a man who I think Spike Lee...
No, you should listen to the words of a man called General Schwarzkopf, Norman Schwarzkopf. That's who you should listen to. The man was a genius.
Who is that?
The guy that led the Gulf War.
Who?
Schwarzkopf!
Charlie Sheen and whoever else... Who are they?
Martin Sheen was in the United States.
Who cares what he was
he
in?
Was not in
Let
the
me tell you something. I'm disabled. I'm disabled door gunner from the war over there, so you can stand out there. I'm disabled to give you the right.
Well, how come you got shot? Maybe you should have hit or something. In a letter.
Oh, God. You know something, lady?
In 11 years, if you never got higher than the infantry, what's your rank?
I got out as a staff sergeant promotable.
Staff sergeant.
What have you ever done? Are you not even employed? You know what? Our rights right now, we're feeding you.
I'm planning our Springtacular Fall fashion show.
I don't care what you're planning. Right. You know what you should be doing? You should be supporting the men and women that are over there right now to give you that right to stand out there with 10 actors.
I'm going to tell you something really inspiring, Kevin. Listen.
You don't tell me anything inspiring. I've already been inspired by a lot more than what you'll ever be.
All we are saying is give peace a chance.
Give peace a chance. I gave peace a chance, and you know what? I
fought for that.
I served 11 years for peace.
11 years where?
In the Army, you idiot!
Oh, I thought...
What have you done to deserve the freedom that you have right now? What have you done to deserve the freedom that you have right now?
Where did you get shot?
All right, I'm done with her. Thank you very much, Kevin. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Henry, we want...
Two fruit balls, man. Two bona fide jackasses. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind. Show 1-800-449-8686.
All right, enough of the laughs. Now for the serious stuff. By the way, that was me doing the voice of Bobby Dooley in that last bit. I only got a couple of minutes to say this, but I saw the anti-war protest this past weekend. And remember when I said 2,000 doesn't make an anti-war protest? Yep, 200,000, and then I'll believe you got a movement. Okay, that's a movement. But I want to ask a question. What has happened to a world? Frankly, what has happened to a movement? When you got a picture of Bush as a terrorist, and you may believe that he is, which is fine. I'm not going to quibble. What has happened to a movement that claims some kind of intellectual grounding when you got a picture of Bush as a terrorist, but you haven't got the guts, you haven't got the guts to put a picture up of Hussein as a terrorist? What has happened to you? Have you really lost that much in a way of the balls department that you can't look at the hypocrisy of what it is you stand for when you can't have the guts to put a picture of Hussein up, a man who clearly murders and tortures his own people, a man who has attacked, who has a practice, who's practiced his own brand of hegemony and colonialism in his part of the world? Just because he's inept at it doesn't mean that he doesn't try to do it. Do you really honestly believe Bush is a terrorist? Or is it a fashion statement? Because I'm telling you right now, you may have 200,000 people in a so-called anti-war movement. There's a big difference between this one and the one that happened back in the late 60s when Vietnam was the focus. This movement is a fashion statement. It is populated by suburban peoples with nothing more to do than wash and wax an SUV on the weekend so they think they'll go out to their anti-war protest. It is populated with people who have no real intellectual grounding at all in this argument. They couldn't argue this thing if you put a gun to their head. Because it's just reactionary prattle about, what about America? We're the greatest terrorists the world has ever known. And they bring up, you know, it's not a quid pro quo, kids. Sorry, you cannot compare. You cannot compare a guy who, by law, makes his people disappear by the thousands every year, uses, by law, torture tactics. You can't compare that to a system in place here in the United States in which, under which, you make your protest of the American government as a terrorist government. What happened to your movement that you haven't got the guts to put a picture of Hussein up where you got Bush's picture? You got no movement, man. All you guys are doing is going out and having a couple of sandwiches and a bottle of wine. You're having something to do on the weekend. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. And now, Phil Hendry.
Eva Georgia is the general manager of a Los Angeles radio station, KPFK. It is a public radio station. Now, on public radio, you'll probably notice, if you listen to public radio, a lot of it, everything America ever does is wrong, or criminal, or corrupt, or in some way, shape, or form is suspect. We'd like to bring Eva on right now. She is, in fact, using the very same street sound effects that Bobby Dooley used last hour. Eva, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Phil.
And Eva, you're one of the few females to be a general manager of a radio station, aren't you?
Yeah, well, no, there's a lot of us, but in the world of public radio, Pacifica Radio, left-wing, liberal, left-leaning, women have to be the general managers, or we would be colonialist, sexist, repressive, fascists. So I'm very fortunate to be working here for them.
Now, I consider myself to be a liberal, but I'm in favor of the war in Iraq. Why can't I be a liberal and be in favor of the war in Iraq?
Well, you can, I guess, as far as you do anything you want, Phil, but what we do on our radio station is we make it clear that you have to be against the war if you're a liberal or left.
Why?
Well, because that gives us our audience niche. In other words, the people then know, which people know to listen to our station are a lot of, you know, left-leaning old ladies and sneakers and things like that who, you know, are against the war. So if we said, you know, liberals can be in favor of the war, then nobody would know what our station's about. So we just...
Well, so is that why every time I turn on your station, it's everything the country does is wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
Does America ever do anything right?
Well, sure, probably, but the way we position our shows is that no, America never does anything right. Everything America does is corrupt. It is criminal. A lot of really good words like that. It's flashy. People get angry about it, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun for us. It's a lot of fun for our hosts.
So you use words like criminal and Nazi and Nuremberg?
Right, right. Everything America does should be... basically, KPFK's position is this. Everything that America has ever done or ever will do should be on trial in front of Nuremberg. And that way, I think we're very clear.
Ah, I see. Now, I notice a lot of your hosts sound intelligent, but are in point of fact rather dull. Is that, do you go for that?
We do, Phil. We want a nice, dull, slow, pedantic style. So, in essence, we have hosts that are incredibly boring for 90% of the audience that gets regular oxygen, but for the embittered sneaker-wearing old ladies that listen to our station, they're Jesus Christ.
But they're not very bright, are they?
No, our hosts are not very bright. They'll say stupid things like, America is against the women of Afghanistan because America bombed all of the water supplies of Afghanistan, and women need water. Now, any intelligent human being would ask, don't men need water too? But we don't have a lot of bright people listening to our station, so they can get away with stuff like that.
So why don't you guys bring up the righteousness of a war that would get rid of a guy who, like Hussein, has ignored the will of the world community? This is the world community. Or don't you guys support the UN?
We do support the UN usually, but now we don't, because it doesn't go along with our programming right now.
Oh, I see. So this UN thing isn't going along with the...
No, it's not. It's tough, and I had some hosts ask me that. Actually, I had one host come in and ask me, hey, if we support the UN, why aren't we supporting a war against Iraq, or at least these resolutions? To which I pulled down what I've got is it's like a big machete, and I hacked off one of their arms. Just kidding. No, I just told them to get out of my office. They were fired. And so it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Right.
All right,
But it's more fun to go after Bush as a terrorist than Hussein, Phil. I mean, going after Hussein might actually get one of us killed. I don't want to do that, you know. We can go after Bush. He's not going to do anything about it because, in point of fact, we know he won't.
What do you really think about Bush? What do you really, what is KPFK really? We're talking, by the way, to Eva Georgia, the general manager of a local public radio station. What do you really think about Bush? What do you really think about the war with Iraq?
Well, I mean...
No, come on, you can tell me.
I think it's pretty good, actually, but...
But you can't...
No, I can't tell my host that. Bush is easier to make fun of than Hussein.
Like, why? Why? Hussein's got the goofy mustache.
The ears. The ears. If Bush didn't have the ears, we'd go after Hussein. But because of the ears, we can go after him with the ears. You know, the big mouse ears on him. Hussein looks like a... he looks like a Mexican. I mean, he looks Hispanic, I should say. He looks like one of our brothers from south of the border. He looks like one of our oppressed brothers from the Latin America region, I should say. Sorry.
Instead of spick.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Eva. And, of course, that wasn't really you that I was talking to. Otherwise, you'd sue me, wouldn't you?
I would sue you, yeah.
All right, that's Eva Georgia from KPFK, a radio station in Los Angeles with no real entertainment value. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy.
So there were 75,000 people going down the streets of Hollywood, and they were led by a phalanx of celebrities against the war in Iraq, or Iraq, as the more educated might call it, or Iraq, or Iran, as some people think it is. Are we going to war against Iran, or which one? Iraq? It's Iraq. All right. And they were all led there by the celebrities, Mike Farrell and Martin Sheen and Rob Reiner and Christine Lottie and Other people, you know, I'm sure were there. Oh, Angelica Houston, she was out there on the beach, and there they all were. And in this picture I'm looking at in the LA Times, right behind him is a picture, a poster of Malcolm X. I think that's interesting. I'm a big admirer of Malcolm X. Huge admirer of Malcolm X. Malcolm X was one of the greatest Americans. One of the greatest Americans that ever lived. He brought himself up literally from a horrible background in crime. His father murdered by the Klan. His mother put into an asylum. His family broken apart. All of the children spread out into foster homes. Malcolm X later hooked up with his sister in Boston. His family turned him on to Islam. He met Elijah Muhammad. He was a major spokesman for the Nation of Islam. Went to Mecca on the pilgrimage. Met white Muslims. Decided that he could coexist with whites. That the problems that African Americans had needed to be dealt with by African Americans, but that the white man might not be the devil that he always thought he was. And he evolved, in other words. In other words, he was the epitome of what a man is. He evolved as he saw things, as he saw life change around him, as he learned, he changed, he evolved. He was a great American. He also believed very much in self-defense. He believed that African Americans had been brutalized and victimized in the South to the point where the peace marches of Martin Luther King, while well-intended and while led by quite a brilliant man, he personally could not stand by and see them attacked by dogs, fire hoses, and rednecks. So he said, and quite vocally, the next time I see one of those marches attacked by these rednecks, I'm coming down there with a gun. Because the police were not protecting them. The police were turning fire hoses on them. Malcolm X, in other words, had every instinct that any other American would have. Any of us would have done that if we'd had the courage that he had in those days. Back then, I mean, whites didn't have that kind of guts, just a handful. He says, if I see another one of these people beaten, so help me God, I'm picking up a gun, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to blow away the first redneck I see. That's an American point of view as far as I'm concerned. That's a very American point of view, and it's an admirable point of view. And he said, self-defense. If you're telling me that I'm not allowed to own a gun, but this white guy down the street can, that's not American. That's in fact, in point of fact, unconstitutional. Of course I want a gun. Of course I'll own a gun, and of course I'll use it if somebody were to attack my family or my friends and there was no police protection to be had. And in those days in the South, there was little or no police protection to be had for any black protesters. What gives these people in today's anti-war movement the right to use Malcolm X's face in an anti-war protest? What makes you think Malcolm X would be walking with you? Because of the things that he said about America's colonialist practices? Yes, Malcolm X was very vocal about our colonialist practices and our support our support of destabilizing elements in Africa and the Congo. Yes, he was very much a vocal opponent of America's hegemony in those days in the 60s. This is 2002. 3,000 people were murdered, and we want to take steps to defend ourselves. I will go toe-to-toe with anybody who thinks Malcolm X would be walking in an anti-war protest today. He would be standing with us attacking that scumbag Hussein. That's what he'd be doing because he was a man. You don't watch people get murdered and do nothing about it. You just don't do it. Now, the attitude that is prevailing today in Europe, you're probably wondering why are there so many people protesting in Europe, and I'll tell you why. Europe has been victimized by this kind of terror for years, years and years and years, decades. Having something blow up on a street, having a pub blow up, having a car bomb go off on the streets of London or Paris or Rome is not unusual in that part of the world. So therefore, to them, what happened in New York was almost business as usual. It was terrible, it was tragic, it was horrible, but it's something that they've lived with and they've dealt with in their own way for many, many years. We have a particularly unique American response to those things. We want to go kick ass. That happens to be what we do. The Europeans don't want us to do that. That's not a European response. The European response is quite different. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying that it's ill-minded. But we know what's worked for us. We know what's worked for us in the past. And the other thing that the Europeans are expecting us to do is something we can't do, and it's this. You got hit on September the 11th because of things that you did. You brought this on yourselves, so you are going to have to absorb it. You're going to have to learn the lesson. You're going to have to not be a bad country anymore. And if you stop being a bad country, then you won't be hit by terror attacks anymore. And of course, it's as ignorant a point of view as you could possibly have. It's true America's made some horrible mistakes. It's true that the United States has pushed its weight around. It is not true that if we became a good little country and fell in line and dug Palestinian statehood and, you know, all of that, wherever the French are at, in other words, that's where we'd be at, it doesn't guarantee that we wouldn't have any terror attacks. And I'll tell you something else. Why should I do something if it's wrong just to protect myself from somebody bullying me? That's giving into a bully. So what am I supposed to do? Every time Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden or another one of those ragheads over there says something, even if it's contradictory to what he said the day before, I got to follow this path of logic. Otherwise, I'm going to get another plane flown into my building. Is that it? Is this what we're expected to do? Would you people please come back to the planet Earth? It's really very nice here. There's greenery and air. Come back to Earth, Martin Sheen. We loved you in Apocalypse Now and that other one. What was the other one he did that was good? Didn't he do that thing with the where he blew away all those people? Starkweather. He played that guy, didn't he? Come back to planet Earth, Rob Reiner. You were great and all in the family, and I dug a few good men. You make good movies, man. Please return to the planet Earth, Mike Farrell. No, you can stay in space, man. I don't know what you do. You know, you guys are in outer space, man. Oh, Reiner, you did Spinal Tap. Fantastic. Boy, could we use your sense of satire in this situation right now where you do not fall into the trap of going against the government just lockstep because every time the government does something, it's got to be wrong. Sometimes it's right, man. We went to the moon. That was cool. Oh, the moon wasn't cool? All right. Oh, we didn't go to the moon. I'm sorry, you're right. We didn't go to the moon. If we'd gone to the moon, that would have been too cool. So the government ain't cool. It can't go to the moon, see? If we'd actually gone to the moon, that would mean that the U.S. government did something cool, and we all know that the U.S. government is nothing but a fascist, Nazi, communist, asshole government. So therefore, we couldn't have gone to the moon. That's why it's phony. That's why they did it on a soundstage in Hollywood. But then that means it was a Hollywood conspiracy about us going to the moon. So what are you guys helping out the government? And I don't know who's on first. But you cats are way out there, man. Way out there. You got no moral, logical basis for your movement. There's none. It's messed up. There's fear. I can dig that. I'm afraid, too. I don't want to go to war. I was talking to my wife, Maria. She doesn't want to go to war. Anybody that I know that is in favor of neutralizing this pile of crap in the Middle East, Saddam Hussein, who has terrorized his neighbors, who has paid the families of suicide bombers, who has active links with Hamas, who has active links with Hezbollah, who, because we can't prove categorically and right down to the last penny links with Al-Qaeda, I guess he's an innocent man then. Is that it? I see. So he's allowed to go and pay off suicide bombers that kill innocent Israelis. That's okay with the rest of the world. But, you know, if we don't have any proof of him hooked up with Al-Qaeda, we just got to sit on our hands. That demonstration in Baghdad, I mean, okay. So Hussein said, if you don't hit the street and protest in favor of Iraq, then I will, you know, I will geld your firstborn. I'm sure that didn't have anything to do with them going out there. Why not a picture of Hussein? It's stuff like that that makes me believe that this modern-day anti-war movement is a bunch of suburban housewives, a bunch of suburban dads. They get all the little kids out there. The children don't know. It's the most horrible thing in the world to use a child for political protest. I can't stand it. Manipulating a child like that. They get all the little kids out there as if, see, my kids believe it too. Please don't hurt me. I'm a child, Mr. Bush. Please don't commit murder and genocide against children. Please. It's a bunch of kids from college who wish to God they were around during the party days of the anti-Vietnam era, and they were good times, and they weren't, and so they want to recreate that. And sorry, man, it ain't the same thing. It's a lot of people who are generally disenfranchised, and every generation's got them. They don't dig the World Bank. They probably, a lot of them are anti-Semitic. Probably a lot of them are anti-Jewish, anti-Israeli. So they've kind of fallen in with this peace movement, which is, you know, claims to be multiracial. It's a lot of people who, you know, rage against the machine fans, and anything those cats did or do or will do or ever did is good with them. It's a bunch of people that, a lot of old men who want to be young again, a lot of old women that want to be young again, a lot of young intellectual types that want to be old. It's a lot of people who just dig the atmosphere, a lot of people who make posters really good. It's a lot of people who are in favor of legalizing marijuana, and some people who are in favor of the legalized cocaine lobby, and everybody just kind of all falling into one lockstep group down there on Hollywood Boulevard on Saturday. It ain't no movement. It's just a party. It's a party, and that's cool. I love it. You know? But you guys have got no movement. You got no idea why it is you're against the United States of America doing the right thing, the righteous thing, the humane thing, going into Iraq, forcing that guy to be in compliance with resolutions that were passed by the world community, Spike Lee, you freaking idiot. The U.S. didn't decide it. The U.N. did, you dumbass. Go make a really good movie, because you're good at that. But please, please, just because you want to get more white actors in your movie, you don't have to say a lot of stupid stuff. It ain't the United States deciding, baby. The U.N. decided. Don't you dig this? The U.S. is simply saying, why don't you guys follow up your words with deeds? That's a righteous... That is a good, that is a moral, that is a good cause to put the Iraqi people out of their misery from underneath this guy to begin to get that country rebuilt. But no, they don't want to do that because a war is going to kill a lot of people. We'd rather Hussein do it slowly, slowly with torture and over a long period of years than the U.S. going in, waging a war that will unfortunately kill some civilians, getting the thing over with and getting that country rebuilt. No, we don't want to do that. We prefer the blowtorch toilet. Thank you very much, Angelica Houston. Although I loved you in Saving Private Ryan. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
On Friday, we had a special guest, Steve Bozell. He's a construction contractor from Corona, California. And he was talking about his little girl getting a Valentine. On it, it said, "You're sweet," which he took to mean it was a sexual come-on from another little kid in her class. "You're sweet," he's heard hip-hoppers and rappers say, so he knew this was something sexual. Here's Steve from Friday.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
And the only problem I have is that one day a 15-year-old boy was told he was sweet by a gay guy.
Man, it sounds to me that you've been walking around with this problem for a long time, and maybe you need to go seek some mental help.
Steve, I got it.
Well, I tell you right now, I'm a father who loves his daughter. Seeking mental health. I think that's what they did to the prisoners in Russia. They put them in a nut house. Okay? In America, I got it right. I got it right.
And it's not called a nut house. Let me tell you something.
Well,
I am a civil rights activist. It is not called a nut house.
It's where they put nuts who don't belong with normal people.
Who are you calling normal? Listen to yourself.
Hey, ma'am.
Who are you calling normal?
Now I'm beginning to think maybe you were in a nut house. Were you in the nut bin? They put you
in
the nut
bin,
didn't they?
You know what? A person, if they really wanted to go after you, they can slap a slander charge on you right now, buddy. This is discrimination.
Who's gonna
slap slander, and it's defamation of character.
Ma'am, do you know that there are sexual codes in Valentine's? Muffin means a girl's, you know, thing. Winky means a boy's thing, and sweet.
Maybe you've been spending too much time in your closet making Valentine's and listening and looking at that dang computer too much.
Okay, so now you're calling me gay.
She didn't say gay.
She said I'm in the closet, and I think I know what you're talking about.
No, in the closet making Valentine's. Because maybe you need to come out and let the real world know what you're all about.
Would you get
because
off
you,
of the...
It sounds like you've got the problem.
I want
and to ban something from little children, you're out of your mind.
Ma'am,
and it's what you teach your children.
Ma'am,
and you
I
have just taught your child that a Valentine is the worst thing to get if it says you're sweet.
Ma'am, I went through 6 years of therapy to overcome audio rape. And I have been...
What is audio rape?
You obviously haven't overcome anything.
What's audio rape?
That's rape when someone talks to you.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, now she thinks...
You
it's
have
funny.
Been spending too
that's
much
right.
time on that internet.
Now you think it's funny. That's okay. I guess if you hate children, that's your problem, but I'll defend our children.
You know what? I have three daughters. They are my life.
Uh-huh. Sure. Did you go to a nut house or did you not? I want the answer to that.
You don't have Dorana, you don't have to answer that. Will you turn that computer off, sir? You don't have to answer that.
I don't have to answer anything.
I demand that you tell me whether you were in a nut bin or not.
She's not going to tell you. No, I'm not making you say anything. You're the guy that said that some senior hit on you.
Have you ever been hit on by a guy?
Yeah,
now
maybe I have. I don't know.
Now you're saying that you've been audio raped.
Yes, ma'am. Audio rape is when someone tells you they'd love your rear end, but they have not done it. And I would get home after being told I was sweet, and I swear to God, the toilet paper had blood on it. That was my imagination, of course, and I wasn't really happy.
Oh my gosh!
And I would think you'd have, if you work in the mental health field, I think you'd have some pity on me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you hit the nail on the head.
You are bizarre.
I have to go home and scrub my private with a Brillo pad every time I hear you're sweet. Now, I know that's not healthy.
No, it's not. It's not healthy.
What?
It's far from being healthy.
You're taking your pills now or something?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hey, what's McDonald's doing with business in all them places like Iraq? Get out of there, McDonald's. Get out, McDonald's. Get out, McDonald's. This is the epitome of a world gone mad. McDonald's does box office business in like Pakistan. And when you go up to one of those ragheads over there and say, hey, how come you're eating a quarter pounder with cheese when you hate America?
It's not the same thing. McDonald's, you know, it's
in America.
Yeah, but, you know.
Oh, okay.
It's good, you know, as they get the McBurglar and all that.
The McBurglar, dude, they haven't had that in a long time.
What do I know? But America is evil. America is great Satan. America is anti-God. America, McDonald's is from America. It's good food.
McDonald's. Where is it here? I saw this. This is good. If you can't beat them, pander to them. With anti-American sentiment on the rise, international markets have become perilous for U.S.-based multinationals, but that's just business as usual for McDonald's. During the last decade, the Illinois-based chain has been the target of political protest. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, France. They didn't dig it. Backlash against U.S. cultural imperialism in France. When French farmer José Beau vandalized a McDonald's outlet in 1999, his compatriots were thrilled. I bet you that's because his kids came home with, like, McBurglar gear. And that just drove him nuts. So some old, dried-up, pruned-up farmer in France who hasn't had a laugh since the Nazis rolled through there, he goes out and he vandalizes it. So here's the McSpin, as they call it. Franchise launches ads featuring cowboys who boast that McDonald's France refuses to import American beef to guarantee maximum hygienic conditions. Ronald McDonald takes a back seat to Asterisk, the cartoon defender of French independence. Are you kidding? Are you frogs kidding me? You have a cartoon character that's... Oh, I get it, because it's bumming you out that we have Superman. Oh, okay. See, you got to do everything that we do. Yugoslavia. Operating under NATO auspices, the U.S. military begins a bombing campaign against Belgrade. Well, here's what McDonald's said. The franchise repositions McDonald's as a symbol of anti-NATO protest, hands out free burgers at rallies, and adds a Serbian nationalist cap to the Golden Arches icon under the slogan, McDonald's is yours. You see, that's the beautiful thing about American business. You can do anything you want. You can be anything you want. You can say anything you want. And you know what? I'm going to eat at McDonald's all the more now because of that. Because it's business. Is it anti-American? I suppose. Look, we'll take care of the military moves. The military will take care of all the moves we need to make militarily. You go out and just do whatever you got to do to make a dollar. Now we go to Indonesia in 2002. What's their problem? Well, anger over U.S. military campaign in Afghanistan triggers protests in the world's most populous Muslim nation. Here's what McDonald's did. Outlets installed large photos of Indonesian franchise owners making the Hajj pilgrimage to Mecca. Staff wears religion-inspired clothing on Fridays while new TV commercials emphasize local worship. Beautiful. Beautiful. What's McDonald's slogan? You deserve a break today at McDonald's. Some guy in a bedsheet at McDonald's just going out there to the big thing that they worship over there in Mecca. Guy's just pounding down a couple of them little fried, you know, sausage McMuffin with egg. You fool, it's pork! But it's McDonald's pork. They got Ronald in a burqa or whatever. I don't know. All the chicks wear burqas there. Egypt, 2001. Anti-American boycott sparked by U.S. support for Israel. Oh, shock. Here's the McSpin. Local outlets introduced the McFalafel?
Nice.
The McFalafel? Those are good, man. You ever had those falafels? Those things are the freaking bomb, man. Oh, dude. Well, just because you're so anti-anything that's black in there, Chris. The McFalafel's good. Rolled out behind an ad jingle sung by Shaban Abdel Rahim, best known for his chart-topping hit, I Hate Israel. There you go. Now, why don't one of the guys out here in America come out with some tune like Saddam Hussein, you take it in the shorts? And then finally, Saudi Arabia, one of the great friends of America, in case you haven't heard, Arab anger at Israel's response to Palestinian uprising triggers boycott of American products. Right. Sure. Here's the McSpin. A Ramadan promotion by the Saudi franchise spends 30 cents for every Big Mac sold to the Red Crescent Society. And, of course, that goes to Osama bin Laden. But anyway, and Nasser Hospital in Gaza for treatment of Palestinian casualties. By the way, a big thumbs up out of sight to the Israeli military. They took out six Hamas leaders in a typically clean, precision, and surgical Israeli military strike yesterday. Just a fantastic military operation as they continue to fight for the survival of a country with 5 million people clinging to life each and every day as the world continues to swallow this line of garbage that the poor, oppressed Palestinians and Arabs, oh no, just how horrible it is for them, while the Israelis, yeah, are big and bad, and they're just a bunch of Nazis over there. They've been driven out of every country in the world. They finally got a little piece of desert that they've turned into an oasis. They're fighting for the very survival of their country, but they're a big, bad, oppressive bunch of scumbags. Anyway, good job, Israel. You took out six of the worst scumbags the world has ever seen. And it looks like Saddam Hussein ain't going to have nobody to send his money to now. Who's he going to send his money to? His pals in Hamas, six of these guys, they got lit up last night. But I guess it was like a typical Israeli operation against innocent Palestinians. Is that it? Is that what we're supposed to believe today? What's the spin today, man? Huh? That big, bad military machine that Israel has, while this country of 5 million cling to life? Did they kill more innocent Palestinians? Is that it? And I love the photo op. They always show the woman throwing the rock at the big tank. So in other words, that's the photo op that we got there from Nasser Ishtayan of Associated Press. He went out there and he shows a woman wearing her burqa and her sheet, her bed sheet, so that she can't be seen because that's against Muslim law, throwing a rock at an Israeli tank. Now, what they don't show you are all of the tanks that Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, Iran, Yemen, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, all of those countries at one time or another have amassed against Israel. They don't show you that. Israel tanks retaliate in Hamas neighborhood. Fantastic. Good job. I hope you do more of it. We love it. Sorry, I hate to sound like such a warmonger, but, you know, all of a sudden for me, you know what it is? The world is suddenly coming down. It's becoming more black and white. You ask me, am I in favor of Palestinian statehood? Yes, I am. If you go back over the history of what happened in the United Nations, Palestinian statehood, the demarcation, the variety of plans put forth, some were accepted by the Palestinian leadership as early as 1948. They said, okay, we'll accept that. The way that the thing is now, Israel's got it all, man. Why do the Jews come down? Why do these stinking, filthy Jews, these Hebes, these Sheenies, these Kikes, why are they here? Well, I'll tell you. Here's how it is. The United Nations, you've heard of that, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Okay. You see, the United Nations was formed to try to cool out a lot of problems so we don't get into World War III.
Yes, I understand. That's good.
Okay. The Jews, as it turns out, 6 million of them were cooked in ovens. Don't ask me why, but all down through history, Jews have been pushed out of every country that they've ever been in, hated, thrown rocks at them, the whole thing, you know.
Well, I think Jews are stuck. They're the worst people.
I know, okay. So in order for them not to get gassed anymore, we finally went along with a thing called the Balfour Letter. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, it's some kind of a thing that came up, you know, the British, once again, screwing everything up. They came up with a letter and said, well, we should give the Jewish people their own homeland in Palestine. Oh, you see, the British, those bastards. Yeah, I know. But they did it so that the Jews would keep, you know, have their own country so that people wouldn't gas them anymore and wouldn't keep pushing them out of countries. And we could finally find a solution for the problem that everybody hates the Jews.
I see.
Okay. So we gave them a little piece of that Palestinian down there under a United Nations resolution. Now, I know that the catastrophe, as the Palestinian people call it, was a great trauma. I understand that. But they did try to partition the land in such a way so that the Palestinians would have their own land.
No! No Jews! We have it all! No Jews!
Well, see, that's the whole thing. No Jews, no Jews. Nobody else wants the Jews either.
So we have to take them?
Well, it seemed like the best idea because that's where they historically and traditionally came from.
That's a bunch of bullcrap, man. You can't prove no Jew.
Yeah, there's a lot of Jews been down there since. I mean, Ariel Sharon was born in Palestine. A lot of Jews are born in Palestine. Just so happens they're Jews.
I don't get it.
I know you don't get it because you're an idiot. I'm like, that's the thanks I get trying to make sense with you. Go make another bomb.
Okay, see ya.
See ya. Go strap it to yourself, too, if you don't mind.
Asshole.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Whitney Houston's dealer. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The other thing that I wanted to go ahead. Yeah?
Get Bud on there, will you?
David, I'm in the
I know you're in the middle. Get Bud.
Bud.
I'm right here, Mr. Hall.
Why is he talking politics?
I don't know, man. Can I have Bud's corner?
Let's get some laughs going, okay?
Oh, well, I'm so sorry.
Get some laughs going, all this stuff about Hussein and everything. There we go.
What are we doing?
Just let me do it. And now it's time for Bud Dickman's Corner. Yay! Okay, today, Phil, we're going to have a President's Day quiz.
What?
We're going to have a President's Day quiz.
Well, what do you mean we're having...
Just answer the questions, you tard.
Kill the music. Don't call me a tard. You understand?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Do your President's Day quiz.
All right. You tell me who this president is. He rejected a movement among army officers to make him king of the United States of the America.
King of the United States of the America, huh?
Who was it?
Well, they wanted to make George Washington king, right?
That's right. Ding. Okay. He was born Hiram Ulysses Grant, but changed his name. Who was it?
What kind of a question is that?
Well, what's wrong?
It was Ulysses Grant.
That's right.
Well, no kidding.
Why?
He was born Hiram Ulysses Grant. Who was it?
He changed his name, though.
Yeah, he changed it to Ulysses S. Grant.
Yeah, because he didn't like Hiram Ulysses Grant.
Give me another question, you idiot.
What do you mean?
Anybody would know the answer to that.
Okay, he had one testicle.
Who?
He had one testicle.
I don't know.
James Buchanan.
What kind of... Give me that.
Oh.
Give it to me. Wore women's panties, smelled his own earwax, and sneezed into his hands and wiped it on his pants. Who the hell was that?
That was Woodrow Wilson.
You don't know that that was Woodrow Wilson.
Yes, he did. He sneezed into his hands and wiped it on his pants.
Who else?
Would fart into a cup and then stick it under his wife's nose.
All right, get out of here, bud.
No, who was it?
Get out of here, bud.
You have to answer.
You got to answer. Who was it?
Are you actually asking me to answer? Who farted into a cup and then stuck it on his wife's nose?
Who was the president?
I don't know. Who was the president?
William Taft.
That's right. I never knew that, bud.
Thank you. Who farted during his inaugural swear-in?
I don't know.
Andrew Jackson. Okay, that's it.
This has been Bud Dickman's Corner.
Turn it off. Farted into a cup and then stuck it on his wife's nose, William Taft.
That's right. You should read up more on the President's Day. You'd know the stuff that they did. Who blew his nose and looked at it?
Forget it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Now, Phil Hendry.
Conservatives of Kern County Chairman Larry Grover joins us right now to talk a little bit about the anti-war protests over the weekend. I want to know your feelings about where you think the Security Council will go now. Larry, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Phil, for having me.
What do you think it's all going to boil down to now?
Well, I think we're headed for a decisive vote at some point on a resolution authorizing force. I think for the American people, it's going to boil down to family as well. I mean, I think we need to keep our kids close to us. I think we need to keep ourselves informed. I think we need to make sure our children are respectful. I had my kids for the weekend, as a matter of fact, Phil.
How many kids do you have?
Phil, I've got four. I have Christina. She's 9. I have Marcus, who's 11, and Barry is 4. Did I say I have 4? I've got 3. I had Christina, who is 9, Marcus, who's 11, and Barry is 14. And sometimes I think of myself as a kid, so that's why I said 4, Phil. Actually, we also have Donald, who stays with us. He's my brother's son. And we have a good time. But Christina, my youngest one, came into the house on Friday. And this is what I mean about children who are not respecting their parents and who are making it difficult for us in these very trying times. My daughter came into the house on Friday after I picked them up from their mother's home, and this is what I was talking about.
Okay, now hold on. So the people know you are divorced, so your kids visit you?
My children come twice a month. That's correct.
Okay.
And here's what I was talking about, Phil. There's a level of disrespect, and with a coming war, I think everybody needs to take a reality check. And if you have to slap some sense into your kids, and I don't mean that literally, but you do. And she says to me,
now, this is your youngest?
This is my youngest. This is my baby, Christina. She says to me, Daddy, I found out Colin Powell is the Secretary of State, and he wants a resolution for America to go to war. And I sat there, and I said to her as calmly as I could, and believe me, Phil, I was gripping the sides of the chair. I said, I know that, Christina. And I said, you should have some respect. I only see you kids twice a month. I don't need you lording over me how much you think you know. And
it made you angry?
Absolutely it made me angry.
Why?
Well, Phil, it would make any parent angry. I don't know how long you've been a stepfather, but when a kid comes in and says, hey, Dad, I know this and I know these teachers today, I don't mind my kids learning, but the teacher tells them to go home and show off how smart they are so that a parent like myself, I don't have a lot of education. I'm not book smart. I am book smart, but I haven't gotten a degree. I read the newspapers, and the kids come in lording it over me. Now, I don't need, with the country on the verge of a war, I don't need some kid coming in and telling me stuff I already know.
What's wrong with it? I mean, this is...
It wastes my time, number one, Phil. And number two, I think it's slightly insulting because the kid thinks he's lording over me how much he knows. I know who the Secretary of State is. I don't need my children coming in and lording it over me.
All right, I got Larry Grover on the line with me. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Larry, do you think your kid is lording it over you, or is she just trying to impress you?
Phil, the teachers tell the kids to go home and tell your parents this and tell your parents that to make me feel stupid. Because a lot of the teachers are liberal. I don't think they are in favor of America going to war against Iraq, and they try to send these messages home to the kids. And, Phil, you haven't been a father as long as I have. You know, you'll be a father for another couple of years. You'll feel the way all of us fathers feel right now. Your kid comes home like my eldest son did a few months ago, and he said to me the book Origin of the Species by Charles Darwin started the debate on evolution. Now, he said this to me in front of his grandmother. He said this to me in front of his grandmother, my mother, and I grabbed the collar of his jacket, and I said, I see you kids twice a month. You come walking in here. You start telling me stuff that I already know, and you do it in front of your own grandmother, my mother.
I got to tell you, it's the kids just trying to tell you what they learned.
That's the line they give you. But they're trying to make you look stupid.
Why does the kid want to make you look stupid? Stupid.
Because the liberal education they're getting today is to influence the parents, not to stand in the way of the liberal education. And that's the line they give you.
Did you hit this boy?
I did. Yes, I did. But I had a long day.
Why would you? Larry, I gotta tell you, you're right. I haven't been a father very long. But why would you strike a boy for saying to you?
Phil, don't listen to me. You got to hear me. I'd had a long day. All I wanted was a drink and some quiet. The last thing I wanted was my kid trying to waste my time with stuff I know. And lord it over. So I poured myself a drink. And now the boy comes in and tries to waste my time. We're on the edge of a war with Iraq. We need the kids to be respectful, not waste our time trying to show us up.
Kids want to impress their parents.
These kids have become rude and insulting by challenging my education and the education of their parents. I admit I didn't have the educational opportunities my children have. I've tried to give my kids things that I don't have. But for them to come walking in and say, like my son yesterday said, hey, Dad, Tiger Woods just won the Buick Invitational. And I said to him, don't you never disrespect me again. I was watching it all morning long. I had some buddies over. And he had a 4-shot lead when I laid down for a nap. So I know Tiger Woods won the Buick Invitational. Jesus H.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tina, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover. He's with Conservatives of Kern County.
Yeah, hi. I don't think that the kids are coming home to like act smarter than their parents and outdo their parents. I think by them talking to you about what they're hearing and your input will give them a wider range to base their thoughts and opinions on.
Tina, this is Larry Grover. I hear what you're saying, but my daughter, for instance, she's 9. She comes in, she sits up straight in the chair, and she'll say this. Mrs. So-and-so says that President Bush is the 43rd president and that he and his wife come from Texas. Right there is a slap in my face. In other words, don't I know that? Doesn't she think I know that?
Well, don't you think maybe she just wants to make you proud of her and make you realize what she knows?
I think that that's what she wants me to think, but I think the underlying thought is I'm going to come home, mention my teacher, which will make him feel lower.
Oh, come on, a little
I
girl.
I don't agree with that at all. My kids share with me all the time.
No, my kids love me, and I love my children, but they want to knock us down a couple of pegs, Tina, show us up for the... Look, kids never agree with their parents. They never agree with their parents.
They most certainly do, too. I have four children. They range from age 13 to age 4.
And how often are they trying to stick it to you? I bet you they're trying to stick it to you all the time.
No, they are not. I think that you have a serious problem.
No, I don't have a problem. My daughter came in. Which one was it? I think it was Christina who said, "Hey, Daddy, Abraham Lincoln is the 16th president. Hey, Daddy, the shuttle started breaking up over California." So I said to them,
you don't think she's trying to make conversation with you and get your input on this stuff to know what her dad feels about this?
Oh, well, when I say Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president, and as soon as I go, and then they go, and he fought the Civil War, and Andrew Johnson was the vice president, they never let me get a word in edgewise. They butt in all the time to make me look like a fool.
They're not trying to make you look like a fool. They're trying to make you proud of them,
and I think that you're just taking
it out of context.
The kids want you... If I could just say this to you, Larry, the kids want you to feel proud of the things they learned.
Then why do they say Mrs. So-and-so said this? I'll tell you why. Because they want me to feel lower than whale crap that Mrs. So-and-so knows it and I don't. Look, I don't need anybody wasting my time telling me stuff I already know. That's all I'm saying.
It's your son, your daughter. You're supposed to spend time with them.
Tina, do you have any knowledge? If you're learning things from your kids, did you go to school?
Who?
You, ma'am.
Me? Yes, I did. In fact, I'm to school right now.
All right, so the kids don't need to tell you this stuff, do they? See, that's my point. That's my point exactly.
Your point what?
That the kid doesn't need to come in and tell me that Tiger Woods won. I know already.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Am I missing something here? I don't think I am. He's upset that his kids come in and tell him stuff they learned in school. He's taking it personally. And with the coming war with Iraq, he doesn't want to have to deal with it. I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Larry Grover, who is a father and chairman of Conservatives of Kern County. He's very concerned that with the coming war with Iraq, families need to stay close, children need to be respectful, and they certainly shouldn't be running in and saying things to their father that he already knows. His little daughter came in and said, "Daddy, Colin Powell's the Secretary of State." And apparently Larry thought that was disrespectful because he already knew it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, making pot brownies.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Totally understand that, Phil.
Yeah, it's just the kids are coming home. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County on the advent of a possible war with Iraq. Not for sure, but possibly. He wants children to be a little bit more respectful and the families closer. His kids are coming home and saying stuff that they learn in school. That he's taking, you're taking it personally.
Well, you're saying that he's doing this and he's doing that. What are you telling me that other parents don't? I know that other parents find it insulting when a child comes home from school or just comes walking in the door and says, "Well, Woodrow Wilson was the president during the First World War." Oh, so that, in other words, what you're saying is I'm an idiot because I don't know that.
I don't think the kid's saying that. They're just sharing what they learned.
I'm the father. They should let me say what I know first, then they can tell me what they know. That's the way it goes. And I think there's too many kids coming in and saying it first.
All right. How do you know what the kid's going to say?
Well, you don't, but you could start a discussion such as at the dinner table. Woodrow Wilson dealt with some of the similar problems that President Bush is dealing with right now in World War I. Did any of you learn about World War I in school today? And then they could raise their hand, yes or no.
All right. Okay, 1-800-449-8686.
Otherwise, you got kids who are trying to show their parents up at the behest of these liberal teachers.
Let's go to Esther. Hello, Esther. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover.
Esther?
Yes, Esther. You're on the air. Uh-huh.
Yes. I am a registered nurse, and my husband is an Air Force officer, and... when my 14-year-old comes home, mind you, my 14-year-old, I take pride in the fact that he watches CNN, he watches Fox News, he is interested in that. And when he tells us what he learned, or he'll tell me, did you know
such
happened?
See, he's trying to make you look stupid.
No. When he tells me something that happened, you know, sometimes I haven't caught the news yet, and I am proud of the fact that my son takes interest in the world around him.
Your son is trying to undermine your authority.
No, he's not.
You bring it up first, and then he can say, you know, Mother, I was just reading about that or hearing about that today on the cable news network. But no, he didn't do that. He tries to make you twist in the wind like some kind of a baboon.
No, he does not. He does not. You know what? And my husband has degrees in political science and history, and it thrills him to death to know that our son is interested and that he's learning, and he helps
As a parent, I find it troubling because first he's telling you about CNN. The next thing you know, he wants to share your bed with you and your husband because he's scared of the boogeyman or something. How old is your boy?
He's 14, and you know what? I think you've got some serious psychological problems that you need taken care of.
How does it get to that? I'm simply saying that my daughter came in the other day and said to me, hey, Dad, I don't know whether you know this or not, but the shuttle is apparently there was a block of ice that caused the problem. And I tried to remain calm. I remember I was standing up, so I sat down and I took a deep breath and I said, I read about that in the paper this morning. You little smartass.
You see, you have some serious inferiority complex.
Yeah, that's...
You parents
You've
don't
got a serious inferiority complex.
No, I know.
You obviously must not have much education or it would throw you to death.
Wait a minute.
That your children are taking interest.
I think it's wonderful. I don't need for her to say it before I get to say it. Ma'am, can I give you some advice? Don't let your son near a steak knife or
You know what?
Well, wait a minute.
What?
You sound like what we hear about Saddam Hussein. You don't speak
unless
God, I
love
Yes, you
oh
do.
Oh, my God, I love
Yes,
my
you
country,
do. For
man.
You not to allow them to express what they have learned, you are not contributing to their upbringing.
Now,
you're not contributing to their education.
Wait a minute. Larry, your daughter said a block of ice might have caused the shuttlecraft, and you had to calm yourself down?
I had to take a deep breath, yeah.
Why?
Why? Because she comes in, doesn't she think I would have liked to have said that first to her? When she comes to the door, hey, honey, by the way, a block of ice hit the shuttle. But no, she preempts me, she butts in, and you want to know why? I don't blame my daughter, Esther. I love my daughter, and I don't blame your son either. I blame these liberal teachers who are out there trying to undermine the central parental unit, the parental figure. And I think it's time for President... I'll tell you what. I'm not kidding. I'm kind of half-joking. Once we get done with Saddam Hussein, I think President Bush ought to turn those nukes on the NEA.
I have a major problem. I have a major problem with a liberal education. I'm talking about teaching sex education, stuff like that.
Absolutely.
But you know
what?
Making them aware or teaching them history as to who the president was, the 16th president, I don't find any fault with that because that's why I sent them to school in the first place.
So I guess you want it every time your son needs to go poo-poo, you want him to tell you that too. Is that it? I don't need all of this information.
See,
hey, Mom,
I'm now going to go to the bathroom. You have a serious problem and serious issues that have nothing to do with your kids.
I never heard of any
kid. And you need to address them before you start berating your kids.
With all due respect, do you have a degree in psychology or... because I don't
I'm a registered nurse and I've been doing this for a long time.
All right, so you give people penicillin shots. What I'm saying
don't denigrate what the woman does for a living.
All right, I don't mean to do that, but I'm saying
Yes, you do mean
ma'am,
to
I
do
don't,
that.
No,
you
I don't
listen to anybody but your own self.
I'm listening to everything you're saying. I just don't need my kid coming to me and saying, by the way, after I go to the bathroom, I'm going to wipe my rear end with toilet paper, which I don't need that.
Who says he's going to do that?
Oh, they want to come in and tell you everything.
All right.
You know what is most frightening is that those kids spend days and times alone with him. That is what's most frightening because it sounds like they are not allowed to talk unless he gives them permission.
Do you give sponge baths? Hello, Esther?
I am an intensive care nurse, a critical care nurse, and
yes,
you know
ma'am.
What?
Yes, ma'am.
And you know what? And I have to deal with people of all sorts, of all walks of life.
So you give
and
them.
I have no problem doing that. What I have a problem with
no, do you
is
give
people like
baths?
You who are in charge of minor children.
Ma'am, Ma'am, I love my kids, and anybody tries to hurt my children...
If you love your kids, why would you hit them for expressing what they learned?
Wait a minute. If you give sponge baths, what if I walked up to you and said, hey, nurse, I'm dirty? Do you need to know that? No, you don't need
well,
to know
not,
that.
You know what? I hear it all the time.
Or how about...
I hear it all the time, and I do not find it offensive at all.
So if, what if somebody came in and said, excuse me, nurse, could you wipe my rear end? I can't reach it. You don't need that. And you don't need it, certainly, on a very hectic day.
What are you
let
making? These are ridiculous. No, 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 no. Hold on. These
no,
are
no,
ridiculous. These are ridiculous examples.
No, no, no.
You're making a very good point.
Yeah.
And have you ever touched
aggressive.
A cadaver in an inappropriate way? You don't want anybody asking you that, do you?
But I do want to address it. Let me tell you one thing. Working in critical care, I work with patients who cannot do for themselves, and I frequently do get told that if I haven't checked them yet and they tell me that they went, there's no motion, if they have a ventilator tube and can't talk, and they motion to their butt, they're letting me know that they had an accident, and I have no problem with them telling me, and I blame them.
So
that is my job.
Wait a minute. The guy's breathing through a hose in his neck, and he can't even wipe himself? What was he doing? What happened to him?
It could be anything. Don't answer that question.
You know what? You know what?
Good God.
The fact that he said that he's wondering why he can't do that for himself if he's on a ventilator, that tells you just how ignorant he is.
Well, if I ever get to that point, I hope somebody comes along with a Walther PPKS, puts the barrel to my head.
I don't need to hear the rest. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Larry Grover is with Conservatives of Kern County. He is basically talking against the liberal educations that we're getting, the children are getting. They're coming home and they're mouthing off, telling us that they know who the 16th president is, what caused the shuttle to explode, who won the War of the Roses, etc. He thinks it's disrespectful for them to say it before the adult gets to say it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Communist Info. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm back here with Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County, who says that kids today are insolent. They're not respectful. They're coming in and telling their parents things that that they've learned without letting the parent have the first word. You mentioned something before the break. If people want to put an end to violence against children?
That is correct.
What does that mean?
I think if people want to put an end to the abuse of children, they better start thinking about getting these kids to stop wasting the time of their parents who are already on edge about Iraq. The worst thing a kid can do is to come home from school, blather something that the parent already knows, the parent's trying to unwind with a drink, and for some parents it's natural to swing an arm or ball up a fist, and for some of these people they want to beat banners into them. If you're sitting there and you're relaxing with a scotch, or maybe you've had a couple, the worst thing a kid can do is come in and say, Daddy, did you know that I know... They don't even say, did you? And it's not even a question. They'll say, I know that President Reagan served for 8 years. That's enough to send any common, decent, ordinary man over the edge, enough to make him ball up a fist.
Ball up a fist.
That is correct. You see, you don't understand, Mr. Henry. You haven't been a parent that long.
1-800-449-8686. Here's Robert. Robert, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County.
Larry, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
First off, I am a father. I'm just like you. I get my daughter twice a month.
Then you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't, because quite frankly, when she comes in and she tells me she's learned something at school, I want to pay attention to her. I want to see what she's learned. That makes me proud to know that my tax money that I pay in is educating my daughter and doing a good job of it.
Right.
And first off, and another thing is, you'd ball up your fist and hit a kid, how big of a man is that? That, to me, tells me you're nothing but a boy.
No, I've never done it, but I could understand someone who's had a couple of drinks, maybe three or four.
You said you never done it. You said you did it earlier.
I grabbed my son's lapel. You imagine a kid coming in and telling me, hey, Dad, Darwin's Origin of the Species was the beginning of the debate on evolution. Why didn't he let me say that?
Maybe because he wants your attention and gets your attention to him and away from that Bible he's been having too much of.
Oh, so you think I'm a drunk?
No, I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth. I'm just saying that
you said
it sounds like every time you have your kids, you've got to have something to drink to deal with them. You know, they make medicine for that. It's probably called anxiety, and they've got Celexa and purple little pills and stuff like that that help out with that type of stuff.
All right, well, you're either calling me an alcoholic, or now you're saying I'm wiggy, but I need to be in the nut bin.
I'm not saying none of that. I'm not saying you're an alcoholic. I don't know you. I know of you because of what I heard on the radio.
Right,
and
you're saying...
frankly, that's a boy. That's
well,
a boy.
A
man
Robert,
takes care of his kids.
Robert, what isn't it natural for you, when you know your kids are going to be coming to see you, for you to have a couple of quick shots of tequila or something?
No, because quite frankly, I don't need an alcoholic drink to deal with my kids.
Wait a minute.
I'm more of a man than that.
Don't you look forward to...
Now, that's the second time you've talked about my manhood.
Hold on, gentlemen, hold on. Don't you... Can't you see your kids without taking a drink?
I love my children.
Then what do you need a drink for?
It's natural for any adult, knowing that he's got to deal with kids, to want to have two or three quick stiff belts.
Natural?
Yeah, right.
Look, I got four kids. I don't have to have a drink.
I got a six-year-old daughter. I don't have to have a few quick drinks. And mom's not around. We're divorced. I don't have her to play. Her mom ain't around for her to play Barbie.
I'm not scared
to get down on the floor and play Barbie with my daughter without having a quote-unquote drink.
See, this is what's happened to you, Robert. Your daughter comes in and tells you all about the space shuttle. Now you're down on the floor playing with dolls. See, this
She's
is
six years old. I'm enjoying the time I spend with my daughter.
Well, I'll tell you,
and
every
quite
time...
frankly, Esther, if you're still listening, I applaud what you do. And quite frankly, if something happens to me and I have to be in the hospital, I want you to be my nurse.
Who is he talking about?
Esther, who is that very fine registered nurse that was on here. That's I echo those sentiments, Robert.
The woman that cleans out, the woman that would wipe your rear end, in other words. You want that? Oh, boy.
At least I know she would take care of me.
Let's
and quite frankly, you know, if you had to have a degree or a license to be a parent, you would be failed.
Robert, this isn't a dating service, okay?
So he's not trying to get a date. He's complimenting a woman on her professionalism.
Well, all I'm trying to say here is this. When I hear my son's bike bell, I run for the liquor cabinet. Not because I don't love my son.
Well, then what is it?
It's called Celexa. Sounds like you need a mod of it. Is that or a tranquilizer to calm you down, put you out of it?
Your daughter's trying to dumb you down, sir. First she's out with you, she outwits you, then she's got you playing with dolls. Don't you see the process? Don't you understand?
It's called having fun with your kid. Come out of the 18th century. Well, you done separate from England. That sounds like English attitude.
Well, wait a minute.
And come to America.
That's right.
The kids back. They've come too far forward.
That's right. The kids are smart, and the kids do want to share. And
my nephew's 11 years old, and he is very intelligent. And quite frankly, I'd put him up against Mr. Larry any day.
Are you saying that I'm an idiot?
No, I'm just saying grow up. Let your kids be kids.
All right, let me ask something.
Without the liquor.
First, your daughter comes in and says, "Hey, Dad, the space shuttle blew up because of a block of ice." Next thing, she's got you on the floor playing with dolls. I don't know where this could lead. Does it lead to homosexuality? Does it lead to...
Oh, come on.
I don't know what she's doing to him.
It's his daughter, whatever
Larry,
his daughter...
Larry,
Yes, sir.
First off, you want to talk about very stressful jobs. I have one of the most stressful jobs in this country.
What do you do?
I'm a truck driver, and I deal with idiots and four-wheelers and idiots like you every day.
Idiots like me. How do you know I'm not a good driver?
Did you talk on the phone?
Huh? What'd you say?
What was that? Are you drinking right now?
I had a taste.
Okay. Mr. Grover, I need you sober if you're going to be on the air with me.
I had a little taste.
A little taste? It sounds like you probably had 3 or 4 shots.
My kids came to visit me this weekend, okay?
And quite frankly, everybody out there that loves his kids would be glad to have their kids.
I'd
like to have my daughter all the time.
I double clutch. I don't have any problem.
Double clutch, why don't you try floating gears to go through 18 of them, hauling 80,000 pounds going down to a 7% grade? Like four-wheelers that get in front of you and slam on the brake.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
He has to. He's a truck driver.
Oh, all right.
Anyway, Robert, thank you very much.
Hey, Robert, I hope
thank
I see you.
Having me.
I'll buy you a drink.
No, thank you.
So you've been drinking, huh?
I got 3 kids over here. What do you want me to do?
Stay sober for your kids.
Why? They're up playing Nintendo anyway. I see them for 5 minutes when they get here and 5 minutes when they leave. And they're in their room playing, Myth, Halo, and Grand Theft Auto, a stray.
And you're having a little taste.
It's a little teeny weeny one.
This started out some cat talking about keeping the family close, and this guy's hammered with his kids upstairs playing Grand Theft Auto. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. Show 1-800-449-8686.
And we're back with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. We'll take a couple of more phone calls for you, Larry. Your opinion, although you have been filtering your opinion this evening, now I find out your opinion that kids should not be offering information. You've been filtering through, you've been drinking, correct?
That took you a long time to say, didn't it?
Took you a longer time to answer. Have you been filtering it through your drinking tonight?
I have my children here. Any parent understands that if you have your children, that you should have a cocktail before dinner. I'm barbecuing them some steaks, and then I'm going to have another drink.
Here is Amber. Amber, go ahead.
I have one question for you right off the bat.
Yes, ma'am.
Are your kids bad?
It sounds
like your kids must be incredibly bad.
They're wonderful. They're great, but they think they're always telling me stuff.
No, that doesn't mean they're bad. I mean, do they cause trouble? Do they get in trouble with the police? Do they break the law? Are they juvenile delinquents?
Well, what's the difference, you know?
There's a lot of difference. They're not. If they are just giving you information and they're sharing information with you,
what's the difference?
Then it's totally different than breaking the law and getting ended up in jail.
Well, it's the same consternation.
No, it's not. It is completely and absolutely different.
Look,
there is nothing the same about somebody like if I come up to you and we're just talking like in a bar. I mean, because obviously that's where you go a lot. If we're talking,
well,
and I'm
a law against going into a bar, everybody's making it sound like a bad.
Well, you obviously have to drink all the time.
No, I don't. Just when my kids are here.
Just when your kids are there.
Yes,
well,
ma'am,
obviously that's often enough because you're a drunk or something. I guess I don't know.
There you
I'm
go,
exactly
calling
sure.
me names. Just like the other guy called me names.
Well, at least I can come out and say it.
Right.
Anyway, right. if I just come up to you and I'm volunteering information, would that be offensive to you?
If I
come up to you and say, hey, I'm Amber, I live here, you know, how are you doing? Would that be offensive to you?
No, you're an adult, right?
Well, yeah, but maybe not to you.
And if you look sweet, obviously I'm going to say, well, let me buy you a drink.
Well, I wouldn't be trying to get a drink. You know, I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
If you come
up to me and you start talking to me and I'm having a drink, I'd say, have at it, you know. Who's your daddy?
She's not picking you up, man. Do you understand what she's saying?
I'm just saying that if I come up to you and I want to talk to you and I'm just being a nice person, not trying to get in your pants.
Right, okay.
Or not wanting you to get in mine.
Okay.
That you shouldn't take offense to anybody offering
you know what I'd say?
Listen. At least your kids are listening in school because I didn't listen a lot in school.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't like to listen and pay attention. But I did learn things, and I did tell my parents, and my parents were thrilled.
And
they
were
absolutely ecstatic that I learned things and told them about it.
And you would tell things to your parents, and they never gave you the five-finger bouquet.
No, they did not.
All right,
because
so, Amber, if you came up to me, I'd say, Amber, my kids are in bed by 10. What are you doing at 10:01? What?
I mean, you need to grow up.
I'd say, not everybody's trying to keep you up
just because they talk to you.
I'd say, Amber, you want the wagon master?
Okay, you're drunk, and I'm hanging up, and you've insulted this lady. You've insulted this lady.
I didn't do anything.
Go eat some bread.
Quit drinking? You might as well ask me not to have the visitation of my children. It's the only thing I'll do.
You know you can't even
talk
right, okay?
God, no kidding. Are the kids there?
You're slurring your speech.
I'm sorry?
You're so hammered. Are your kids there right now?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
They got the barbecue going.
Barbecue? You got a 9, an 11, and a 14-year-old around a barbecue.
Unattended?
Oh, listen to Henry.
What kind of parent are you?
You win the prize.
You got
okay,
a barbecue
look,
going,
you
jackass.
I'm only 22 years old.
You
but
are?
I know more than you already. And I don't even have kids.
Hold on for a minute. I gotta get a, can I get another wine cooler? Are you going to keep going?
No, I'm going to hang up.
I want to get a wine cooler.
Good. Have a wine. You know what, Larry, will you listen to
me? Mess it over your head.
Hold on. I won't get a wine cooler.
All right, Amber, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Phil Henry's show. And hang up on him. Carl, hi. You're on the Phil Henry show.
Hello, how are you?
Very fine, sir.
I just wanted to talk to Larry in just a minute. I've been a father for 40 years. And being a father for 40 years, I have a knowledge that I work with hundreds of kids. And when a kid comes into his dad and talks to him like that, no man has a right to have kids when he does that. If I were a judge, I'd tell him to get the hell out of there. Because he certainly doesn't deserve a child. A child comes in wanting to show his dad, hey, I've learned something. And this guy is so stupid and so ignorant that Larry doesn't understand.
Larry, are you listening to this?
Teaching of children is.
Larry, are you listening to this?
What do you say?
Where were you?
I just got another Seagram's wine cooler.
Say it again, Carl. I'm sorry.
I just
want
to say that this man is certainly stupid. I've been a father for 40 years. And with my profession, I've worked with hundreds of children.
Hold on for a minute.
And I've seen hundreds of children who go home and
get away from the lighter fluid.
They're excited about their children.
From the lighter fluid.
Pardon?
He's yelling at it. What are you doing, Larry?
I catch it with the lighter fluid. Hold on for a minute. They got a whole, now one of the chaises is on fire. Hold on. Get away from the lighter fluid. Now!
Carl, I apologize. This guy is hammered, apparently.
Yes, he is. And it sounds like you folks have paid him to be such. I can't imagine somebody being so stupid. And he doesn't certainly doesn't
well, sir, I have to tell
to
you,
children.
You think I've paid this guy?
Well, his voice is familiar. I've heard him on this show before.
You have?
Yes, I have.
Well, aren't you smart?
That's right, exactly.
You want to pet my kitty?
Is this Larry?
This is Larry.
Okay, Larry. I've been a father for 40 years, and you don't deserve
go
to
ahead.
Have children. If I were a judge, I'd not allow you to even have visitation rights.
Well,
those kids are coming home not to try and show up in the house and to reveal to you how ignorant you are. They're coming home saying, hey, Daddy, I learned something. I want you to know I'm not going to be stupid. I'm going to try and better myself. And for you to slap a kid or get mad or talk about making your fist because a kid shows up and tells you what he's learned shows your ignorance at any kind of education.
You are or I am?
I've had 21 years of schooling. I know.
You know
and the more schooling you have, the more you realize you don't know. And the person who doesn't have much schooling at all is the one who is jackass enough to think that a little child is trying to show him up. You must be a very ignorant fool.
Distributed by Henry Weinhard.
What are you doing?
I'm reading the bottle, the label.
That's right. You don't want to listen to anybody.
All right. Well, Carl, I want to thank you for talking some sense into me, even though you've heard me on here before.
I
also like this. You have. Do you suspect that Mr. Henry's paying me?
There's no person, no individual.
As low as me.
If he's a real father.
Yes, sir.
That has to take a drink before he talks and confronts his children.
Well,
I've worked 70 and 80 hours a week at times, and I come home.
What would
and
you
I was
say
happy
if
to
I
have
told
my
you,
children
Carl?
Come in and say, hey, Dad, I learned this.
Hey, Carl, what
this
would you
I
say
know, and if your reference
if I told
to Tiger,
you?
Tiger Woods?
Yes, I beat the kid.
Yeah, well, you were ignorant.
I kicked him right across the room when he came out with that one. But Carl, I want to ask you a bigger question.
Fact,
what would you say if I told you that I'm a made-up person? I don't exist.
All right, I would have to agree with that.
Okay, so that confirms
you don't seem to have a soul.
Yeah, that confirms your suspicions, right?
That's right.
Well, it's actually Mr. Henry doing the voice.
Yep,
it's
I know
Carl.
Exactly.
You knew that, didn't you?
Yeah, that's it.
You still called up to talk to it.
No, I tell you, I can't visualize an individual who has children and really loves them.
I'm an imaginary man now peeing.
That's right. I can't imagine any man being that ignorant.
Well, it's a load off your mind to know then that I don't
shows
exist.
How little education you have, how much of an inferior
I don't have any
education.
I don't exist.
And how much you don't belong as a father.
Sir, I don't exist.
Bye-bye.
Yes. That pee, it's on tape.
And another thing, I said to the... Oh. There's my big sophisticated equipment that I use, too. A phone. By the way, we will be at the Aspen Comedy Arts Festival coming up on the 27th and 28th. We will be in the Aspen room of the St. Regis Hotel in Aspen. We'll be on stage doing our show for a couple of hours. We'll do 1 hour on Thursday, 1 hour on Friday, so you know. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block.